Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Private Officer Talk Radio. We're live with you tonight. Thank you for joining us, and I'm your host for this 90 minutes of Security Police Talk Radio. My name is Rick McCann. I'm the founder and CEO of Private Officer International, an Atlanta, Georgia-based Security Police Association. We're certainly glad that you could be with us tonight. We have a lot to talk about in this 90 minutes. Some of you may have been looking for us on Sunday. I know that we've had some comments about the program not being on air. Well, you know, the great thing about having a internet program is that we have been able to reach far, far, far away, places around the world that we could not reach with the FM radio station in Atlanta. Using the internet is great. The program has had great review. In fact, we have several times been up in the top tier of the stations listed on this internet site. And we've had a lot of great listeners out there from all over the different parts of the world. But as with everything, there's a downside. And if the internet is not working, or if this provider has technical difficulties, then guess what? We can't be on the show. We can't be on air. And from time to time, unfortunately, we will experience those technicality and technical difficulties that really are beyond our control. Anyways, we are here with you tonight, and we have some making up to do. We've got a lot of information and news to share with you. So we want to say right off the bat, happy Wednesday to you. Today is May the 12th, 2010. We've been discussing over the last few days about how, in our growing association, and our growing web of networking, how can we better exchange information with our associates, members, people who are interested in what we're doing, and the general public at large. Currently, we use a number of different formats to communicate and network. We use this radio program for one. We use a large email database, and we often send out email blasts. We are largely at almost every social network site that we can be on, and that is growing. Our presence on the internet continues to expand, which we've mentioned before on this program, that social networking is now the way to get the word out, and so we are doing that. We also have a digital newsletter, and of course we have a main website, and we have a daily news blog. But we'd like to hear from you. If you have other suggestions short of sending a telegram to every security agency, shopping mall, hospital, college, university, and other proprietary and contract security office or agency. If you have any other suggestions or ideas, we'd like to hear it. Just send us an email right now at radio@privateofficer.com. We definitely want to really get as much information out to people as possible. We're constantly updating our websites, our social networks, and we'd like for you to help us out. If you know of other ways that we can be doing this, we definitely are willing to try. Just send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com. Well, about a couple of weeks ago, we told you that we've been updating our software and our hardware, and we hope that the program is sounding better and that things are going much smoother. As we grow, we will be expanding the programs. In fact, we will be adding several new radio shows here in the next few months. We have a lot of, ideas and plans. And you know what they say about plans. But we are expanding those programs, and we hope to bring you more information about that soon. A couple of network notes here. We'd like to remind you, of course, that we're going to be doing something unheard of. Actually, several things that are unique in this industry or any other industry. We will, beginning this month, be giving free, no obligation, no strings attached, no cost, zero, zilch, free training seminars. We'll be hosting a 4 to 6 hour block of training at various locations throughout the Southeast, Southwest, and Northeast. The first route that we will be taking will be the Tennessee, Georgia, Mississippi, South Carolina, North Carolina, Texas, Kentucky, and Florida areas. If you, your business, your client, your church is interested, all you have to do is send us an email at trainingdivision@privateofficer.com. trainingdivision@privateofficer.com. Now, the only thing that we ask of you is that you sponsor this event in a facility. It could be a church, it could be an office, it could be a convention hall, wherever. As long as you're willing to arrange that for us, we will be glad to show up and provide training. Now, right now, we have several blocks of training that we will be offering: use of force, levels of force, and legal liabilities of force. Is one of those blocks. We will also be offering workplace violence and domestic violence, as well as several other topics. Again, if you'd like information for your company or your church security team, please let us know. Just send us an email at trainingdivision@privateofficer.com. I think that's a great opportunity for you and for us to network. We'll also definitely be reaching out and doing some membership recruitment while we're in your area. And this is a great opportunity for your company or yourself or your church security team to employ some expertise and some expert training for zero cost. You can't get cheaper than that. So, if you're interested, just let us know, because we are scheduling those events right now. And we'd love to include you. Also, on a program note that we told you about, we are just almost in the final stages, or actually we are really in the final stages of opening our area chapters. These chapters are going to be great, great, great opportunities for you, the member, the participants in the chapter, and for our organization. The chapters in each location will basically have five different jobs or five different areas that they are going to be responsible for. As with the cornerstone of our organization, the key item, the key topic, the key segment of this chapter is monthly meetings that will encompass many things, including training. We, as an organization, will provide topics and training assistance. We'll help you put together PowerPoints, and we'll also be doing some live events with you, both on-site and through the Internet. It's a great opportunity for members of the association and also security officers working in the area. You don't have to be a member to go to the monthly meeting. This is a great training, networking, recruiting opportunity, along with networking with local private security personnel. We will also be networking with local law enforcement officers. It will give us an opportunity to open up some dialogue with the local police force, and this is going to help you, the private security officer, in your daily job, because it's going to give you an opportunity to be able to have direct communication with law enforcement officials. I know from prior experience with other organizations, this has helped to set up a number of different great and useful networking tools. In several cities, they have issued police radios to certain segments of the security industry that were on patrol in the downtown areas and the shopping malls. They've been able to better coordinate crime, issue BOLOs. Anytime the police department is on the lookout for someone, one of the agencies that they notify are these security departments. So the chapters are going to be a great tool for you. Also, part of the chapter responsibilities and duties will be that we will be assisting injured officers in your area, any security officer injured in the line of duty. And we know that there are more than 25,000 each year. We will be able to have direct and immediate response to those events, as well as providing memorial benevolent assistance to families of those security officers killed in the line of duty. There are a lot of great things that we will be doing with the chapters. If you are interested in becoming involved, whether you are an association member or not, all you have to do is send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. We are also looking for various areas to be open up an office and to be a area manager. And we have more details coming up in a conference call, which we will be scheduling tomorrow night. We will be sending out an email blast to everyone tonight or early in the morning. If you are not on our email list, send us an email right now at adminassist@privateofficer.com. We are extremely excited. The chapters, we're going to be holding a large live online event toward the end of this month, where we will have all of the chapters from not only here in the U.S., but from around the world online with us in this live ceremony later this month. If you'd like more information, email us at adminassist@privateofficer.com or be on the live conference call tomorrow night. Finally, before we move on any further, I'd just also like to remind you that we have another fantastic opportunity for you to get involved and to get some free training. We know, and you know, that the economy is still not where it should be. There are a lot of people out of work, a lot of people that cannot afford to hop in their vehicle and drive to Atlanta, Charlotte, Nashville, or Denver. You can't jump on an airplane, as your manager or the owner of the company may be able to do, to go out to a convention. Well, we have been putting together an excellent opportunity for you to go to a convention, a security convention and expo, live online. Yeah, that's right. You don't have to drive. You don't have to worry about staying at a hotel. You don't have to worry about making reservations. You'll be able to sit at your computer, whether it be at work or at home, and participate in a live event. There will be special guest speakers, seminars. We will have audio and video clips and training. There will be giveaways, contests. We also have a vendor floor where you'll be able to purchase anything from badges to bulletproof vests to various paraphernalia for security, of course, and law enforcement. And you'll also be able to sign up for news alerts and so on and so forth. We are extremely excited about this event. It will be taking place next month. So, you need to mark your calendar for this, because this is going to be a great event, and this is going to be a very unique, one-of-a-kind event. It will be available later on demand, but you definitely want to be involved in the live event coming up in June, and we'll be sending out an email and talking more about this. While I'm on the radio, at any time if you want to contact me live and in person, you can do that by sending an email to radio@privateofficer.com. radio@privateofficer.com. If you want to send me news events or training events or something that's happening in your department, your company, your area, we'll be glad to announce it. If you want to send me a promotion notice or birthday or any information, we will broadcast it live and free to our many listeners here and around the world. You can follow us on the web anytime, day or night. As I was saying, we have a pretty large footprint now and growing each day. You can check us out on the main website, privateofficer.com. We have also been using Twitter every day. We had a problem with it a number of months ago that has been resolved. So not only do we use it as a communication source, but we have connected it with our news blog. And it has a Twitter feed on the blog, which automatically updates our Twitter site and sends out a news blast of the various headlines that we've just updated. So, if you have a Twitter account, or even if you don't, you might want to get one, this is a great way to stay in touch with us, because we're constantly updating our Twitter feed, and it's a great way for you to get quick information. You can also join us on Facebook, facebook.com/privateofficer.com. We're also at privateofficer.ning.com. It's our own forum site. There you'll be able to share your information, be able to network with security officers, loss prevention, and law enforcement from around the world. We have several hundred videos, 650 threads, pictures, so on and so forth. So join us at privateofficer.ning. Now, we will be updating that site in the very near future, and we will be discussing that in an upcoming show, as well as sending out an email blast. Again, if you are not in our database, you need to send us your email address, because it is the best way for us to communicate and stay in touch with you. We frequently send out news alerts whenever there's a major incident involving private security. We also send out any type of training announcement. We send out tons of information. So if you're not in our database, send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com, and you will become part of the 1,000-plus people, actually more than that, who get our news blast If you've been listening to the show for a while now, you have heard me talk about an email that I got a while back about a person who said that they enjoyed the show. They loved what we were doing, but they wanted us to talk slower. So, if you are an avid listener, you are a faithful listener, you may have noticed that tonight and in the last few shows, we have slowed down just a bit. And we are not as loud as we have been. We're trying to settle back and relax in the program. We love what we do, by the way. We love the radio show. We love being able to reach out to people in Qatar, in France, Canada, Nigeria, Brazil, England, Canada, the U.S., every place from north to west to south to east. We have members. Also, the other countries where we have members, associates, and listeners. We do really love putting on the program. And let me just say this. This is your program. It's your association, whether you be a member or not. If you have suggestions for us, if you have ideas, if you have a better way, then we'd love to hear from you. All you have to do is send us a quick email at radio@privateofficer.com. You know, we have been going back and forth with our time slots a little bit regularly. It was scheduled in the beginning for 4 p.m. Wednesday and Sunday. We have altered those schedules a bit because we have so many listeners, associates, and members in the various parts of the country and around the world. Obviously, we can't be on the air at the same time that everyone is available. But we have been testing that. If you have any thoughts about that, what day, what time would work the best for the majority, then we'd like to hear from you. radio@privateofficer.com. I'm very excited today to also tell you about a new program for our membership that we're introducing today. It's called Back to Work. Back to Work. We are setting up a service to assist you with resumes, helping you to write your resume. We are helping with interview process, giving you tips, suggestions. We will be happy to review your resume. Our HR affiliate, friend, cohort, associates will take a look at your resume free. We're also going to be teaming up with several employment centers, several employment agencies. We have already begun the process with LP Jobs, Loss Prevention Jobs, and GetSecurityGuardJobs.com. These facilitators specialize in gathering the information of the openings in those positions throughout the country. Now, we could do that, but it's very time-consuming and exhausting, and we just don't have the time or the manpower, to be frank with you. But we are teaming up with several companies who already have this in the works. They already have websites where you can go and find work in your area, in your specialized field, whether it be casino security, loss prevention, shopping mall, private investigator, uniform security, armed security, mobile patrol, campus security, or special police. So I think this is going to be an excellent benefit if you are a member of the association, or if you're not, you need to be, so go ahead and join up, but don't do it right now because we're a little busy here. But back to work, resume assistance, resume review, interview assistance. We will be opening up a special employment center site on our website, on the main website. We will connect you with various resources, and it will all be on the members only page, which, by the way, has been locked out. We do have password protection on there. We have recently, just in the last few days, taking it back off because evidently some people have had problems getting into it. So we are right now reconstructing that page. We will have it up and running again with the password protection on it within a few days or a week. On that page, members only, you will find the Back to Work Employment Center assistance. All you have to do is upload your resume, and we will send it to the HR associates that we have, and they will review it, critique it for you, and help you to rewrite it free of charge. Many companies in states all around charge $200 or $300 for this service. This will be a free, absolutely no cost to you service and benefit if you are a member of PrivateOfficer.com, Private Officer International. If you'd like more information, send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. And we will assist you not only to better write your resume, better prepare for the interview, but we will also assist you in getting a job. And we are hooking up with a number of placement agencies as well as headhunters and job sites. We will be making more information available to you in the upcoming days and weeks. And I think this is going to be a fantastic benefit for our members. Fantastic. I'd like to also make a note before we go much further into this program that September 19th through 25, September 19th through the 25th of this year, 2010, we will be marking our second annual Private Officer Memorial Week, much like the Law Enforcement Memorial Week going on right now in Washington, D.C. We will be holding some live events in Nashville, Tennessee, Charlotte, North Carolina, and Atlanta, Georgia. We will be honoring during that week private officers killed in the line of duty, more than 450 security officers have been killed in the last 8 years. And actually, there has been more than that. Records are very difficult to come by. Classifications are different from state to state. We are working with several government entities to hopefully reclassify that information so that it can be more evenly recognized, so that if a doorman has security duties and is killed, he is counted as a security officer, not as a general worker. Recently, we had a person working. He was a lifeguard type person, but it was an indoor facility. His duties not only was lifeguarding, but it was security duties. And he was the on-property security officer. Besides being there to rescue people in the pool, he was in charge of taking care of any problems, responding to any disturbances, locking up doors, so on and so forth, and he was killed in the line of duty. They classified him as a lifeguard. We got it changed to security/lifeguard. So we're working on having that better, the statistics better organized within these government entities. But anyways, September 19th through 25, 2010, Private Officer Memorial Second Annual Event. we want you to get involved. And it's very easy. A couple things you can do for us and for those who have been killed in the line of duty. You can spread the word. Tell your coworkers. Tell your employer. Tell the other security companies in the area. Tell them about the organization and tell them about this Private Officer Memorial Week. You can also contact your mayor or governor, as a number of people did last year, and have them issue a proclamation recognizing September 19 through 25 as a Private Officer Memorial Week. We will provide you with the information necessary, the press release, the letter, a template if you need it, to send to your local mayor or governor for them to issue this proclamation. I think that it's very necessary that these entities, that the government in your area are aware of the number of security officer casualties, injuries, and deaths, that this does not go unrecognized. This is going to be our second annual event, and we wanted to make it even bigger and better than it was last year. Now, our live ceremonies being held in Nashville, Charlotte, and Atlanta, those will be broadcast live. We will have some speakers. You, too, can have a ceremony in your city or town. It does not have to be an hour long. It does not have to be 3 hours long. 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, we will give you a template of the breakdown of the ceremony. You can hold it during one of our live events, which will be scheduled during that week. You can participate on one of those days and listen in to our live event. That would be one of the best ways for you to do it. You can hold these ceremonies in your office, in an area park, a church, and we will be notifying your media of the event so that they will come out and also take note of what's going on. If you'd like to become involved, if you'd like to hold a ceremony in your area, it's no big deal. It's not going to take anybody, you know, with a doctorate degree or anything of that nature to do this. It's going to be a very simple thing. Send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com, and we will hook you up. We will get you involved. We will get you the information so that you can send out a letter to the governor, to the mayor. We will, you know, assist you in every way possible. You can also, during that ceremony, call off the names of security officers killed in your state in the last 10 years, or those that we have on record anyways. Again, if you want to become involved, just send us an email at adminassist@privateofficer.com. This is a very it's something that we have to do to recognize these people. It's a very, and you not wanting to be involved. This week, we want to say happy birthday to Fred Phelps Martin. Fred Phelps Martin is 29. I was going to sing happy birthday, but I've decided I better not. Happy birthday, Fred. We're glad that you are a partner and member of Private Officer. Doug Davis in Upper State, New York, a good friend of mine, a long-time friend of mine. Can't believe we're getting old, Doug. Happy birthday to you, my friend. I hope that you have had a great day, a great week. Be blessed. He's a pastor of a church in New York State, and he's doing great works there. Mary Faye West, 55 years old, in Savannah, Georgia. Savannah's a beautiful area down west of Georgia. And happy birthday, Mary Faye. Also, Mark Dauber. Mark is 31 years old in Atlanta, Georgia. And we want to say happy birthday to you, my friend. If you're having a birthday, especially if you're a member of the association. And, you know, I mean nothing negative to those of you who are not, but obviously, if you're a member, you need to let us know when your birthdays are. We do have some of that information on file, and we do check it out from time to time, but we'd like to recognize you both on the program as well as sending you a nice little gift and birthday card. We may even send you a birthday cake. There's only two problems with that. One, if you live long distance, it probably would not make it to you because I'd probably eat it or someone in the office would eat it. And two, it may not make it because, well, you know, even with the best of couriers, things get demolished in flight. You know what I mean? But, you know, if you're a member, we definitely want to recognize you. So if you're having an anniversary, if you have just received a promotion, send us a little email, adminassist@privateofficer.com or at radio@privateofficer.com. We will be glad to make the announcement. Frank in Wilmington, Delaware, wrote us an email this week. He said, thanks for the site. Thank you for reading the site. Thank you for going to privateofficer.com. We are continuously updating our website and upgrading it. We have a lot of things that we're going to be doing to the website soon. Some interactive stuff coming real soon. Some additional training that will be available on the members only secured page coming very, 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 very soon. So thank you very much, Frank, for going and checking out privateofficer.com. Kevin Dunnan in Houston, Texas says he really enjoys the news blog. We have all of the security officer news updates there. He reads it daily, just like reading the Houston newspaper. Well, you know, Kevin, we appreciate you reading the news blog. We do spend a lot of time on it. We have a lot of man hours put into tracking the news from more than 300 news sources. So thanks very much, and we will continue to provide the best private security officer news any place on the web. I mean, any place. We have checked out other sites, and bar none, we are the best. Moses in Illinois. Moses says, I will part the waters. No. Moses said, we found the site. He found the site. It's very cool. That's what he said. Very cool. I think you're talking about the private officer main website, Moses. I'm not sure, but thank you very much for writing, and we will do our best to make it even better and better and better. Mike Becker, congratulations to Mike Becker. He has completed the Certified Asset Protection Professional 2 course. Mike Becker of New Hampshire, congratulations, Mike. We appreciate you. We appreciate what you are doing in your community in the security industry. You know, I've said this many times. I guess I'll just say it again. Training equates to money and life-saving techniques. If you are in the private security or law enforcement industry, you need continual training. Whether it be from us or another source, another reputable source, you need to continue to be on top of your game. The only way that you can do that is to continue to train. It doesn't matter, and I've used this example before, if you are a mechanic or a fireman or a paramedic or a school teacher, if you are in a professional job, those jobs require CEUs, continuing education units. They require that you continue to train, continue to stay on top of your industry. Things are changing in the private security world. The private security industry is not what it was 10, 20, 50 years ago. Laws are changing. Things are changing. Hey, here's an update. Here's a flash. Just recently, the state of Alabama, one of the last few unregulated, unlicensed states, just passed state laws which mandate that all private security guards and all private detectives are to be licensed. They are currently working on the requirements for training, but, you know, that's one of the changes. Years after years after years, Alabama, along with a number of other states, has not required anything more than a business license to operate. A sign that things are changing, even in the South. It's very important that you receive training, that you go to a facilitator, that you go to your area academy, community college, or take online courses from accredited, well-known organizations. We have 40 single-topic training subjects and more than 10 certifications now you can take online at any time, at work, at home, on the go. Check it out, privateofficer.com. Click on the training division. Okay, this week in the news, a couple of shout-outs, recognitions coming up for security officers in two different bank robberies. St. Cloud, Minnesota. Police there say that private security officers at Mystic Lake notified them of some information that led to the arrest of a suspect in a robbery at a TCF bank in St. Cloud, Minnesota. Police say that the security officers noticed the man was flush with cash. Maybe he struck, you know, the lottery. Maybe he got a wealthy relative. Maybe, who knows? But whatever the case was, these security officers became suspicious of this man. The various things in his, you know, mode of operation, his the way that he changed over the period of time. Maybe he was flashing cash, driving fancy cars, and sporting diamonds. I'm not sure. But anyway, something made these security officers suspicious. And what they did was they notified police that this may be the man wanted for a recent bank robbery. And guess what? Sure enough, police went to the man's house, searched it. They found the gun that was used, a large amount of money taken from the robbery, and even the clothing. So kudos to the security staff at Mystic Lake. I'm not sure if that's an apartment complex. You know, that's something I'm going to have to check out. But according to the press release, they just called it Mystic Lake Security Department. But we will be checking that out, and they will be justly recognized for that tip. You may have heard about this, Spokane, Washington, yesterday. We sent out a news alert about this. If you're on the email blast database list, then you have seen this overnight. But Spokane, Washington, police there say a security officer at a bank, Sterling Savings Bank branch, was on duty somewhere on the property when he noticed a man at the tellers acting suspicious. The teller signaled him that it was a bank robbery in progress. Police say Joe Marchese, who is the security officer who worked for GuardsMark, then chased the man outside, stopped the man, and was able to detain him until police officers arrived. The suspect was arrested. Now, I also saw a video, a news video on this. There was no information as to whether the bank robber was armed or whether or not the security officer was armed. But, you know, at this point, it doesn't really matter much because the security officer was heroic. He went and he captured this bank robber. The suspect didn't get very far. He got down to the sidewalk or out to the sidewalk before he was in custody. So, Joe, we're going to be recognizing you soon as well. Great job for that capture. Even if it appears to be no risk, even if it appears that the suspect in a situation, you know, is no threat, that doesn't mean that there's not a threat. There's no way to know if the person is armed or unarmed, no way to know if they're violent, no way to know if they have concealed weapons, no way to know if maybe he's a karate expert, maybe he's a black belt, no way to know. So in any of these type of situations, whether you see a threat or not, there is a threat. There is some risk. There is definitely some danger. So in your approach, be cautious, be careful. But in this situation, it all worked out well. I did forget to mention, we are having a great contest that you may want to get involved in, Best Dressed Officer, Best Looking Patrol Vehicle Contest. You want to get involved? Go to our website, privateofficer.com, right there on the main page. Click on Best Dressed Contest. We will be giving away a $100 gift pack for first place, $50 for runner-up. We'll also release a press release, if you'd like for us to, in your area, if you win. We also want to make note, again, about the Security in Motion book that we are compiling. You can become an instant author right now by sending us an item of 200-plus words of a situation that you can relate to us that you've been involved in, whether it's been an apprehension like this Joe Marchese guy who captured the bank robber, or maybe it was something silly that has happened to you on post, maybe it was a big fire, whatever the event. If you have just a few minutes to sit down and write this news article, this item out, we will have it edited by professionals and include it in our compilation book called Security in Motion. It will be published later this year, hopefully in the fall. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and several other bookstores online. Proceeds going to our Private Officer Memorial Fund, which will assist officers injured, more than $25,000 per year, and the families of those killed in the line of duty. Something else that we did include in our email blast overnight was a news article that I found not surprising at all. In fact, this is exactly what we've been saying. This is something we've touted for a number of years. This is something that we have recommended that those looking to start a business look into. According to the Department of Labor, private security growth, the security industry itself, grew between 17 and 22%. 17% overall, 22% in three different states. California, Nevada, and Arizona, 22%. 22% growth last year. Wow. According to the Department of Labor, this is going to continue until at least 2016, if not longer. The Department of Labor in their press release said that Nevada, California, and Arizona especially right now has a severe shortage of licensed security officers. And this has caused an increase in wages for those who are qualified. Well, that's a good thing for people who, you know, work in these industries. The growth is related to concerns about crime, vandalism, and terrorism. Again, something that we have been saying for a number of years. Security officers and patrol officers spiked in 2002, shortly after 9/11, dropped in 2003, and then again rose in 2005, right through 2010. According to this U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, now I'm not sure, and I'm probably going to have to check these figures, but according to their press release, the average private security officer makes between $21,000 and $33,000 a year. Well, the $21,000 sounds legit. In my area they do, but not all areas. Also, it says that the current shortage has pushed that average wage in many areas to $30,000 to $40,000 a year. Now, I personally can attest that in some positions in the private security industry, yes, security officers, security supervisors, security managers are making very well. I know of a number of security professionals, even the hourly security person, especially if they're willing to work some OT, some overtime, they're making $50,000 a year. No joke. Right now, there are a number of states that are paying $14 to $17 an hour. I was just on a website today, and I saw some postings in the D.C. metro area, $14 an hour to start. Unarmed security, that's not bad. You can definitely make $40,000 a year in those areas. Also, according to this news release, security officers working in medical facilities and in universities tend to make more money. I've been saying that too. So if you are a medical security officer working in a hospital or a medical facility, you're probably getting paid more than your counterpart who is a contract security officer. According to the National Association of Security Companies, that association has many private security companies who are members. Between 11,000 and 15,000 security companies currently exist in the U.S. They employ 1.2 million security officers. That number is actually more. Our stats say that it's close to 1.8 million currently in the U.S., 1.8 million private security officers. And this article went on to say that that number will soon increase. It's already more than double that of police officers, and that's true. We estimate it's 2.5 times more than law enforcement. And again, depending on who you speak to and talk to, those statistics will vary a little bit. But again, private security is growing. Officer down, we have a police officer killed in Rockdale County, Georgia. Deputy sheriff was shot to death a few days ago. Police say that Deputy Lamar McAfee was killed. He was part of the narcotics and vice unit serving an arrest warrant. He was shot immediately. Police returned fire and killed the suspect. A California Highway Patrol officer was killed in an airplane crash. Police say that he was a pilot of a police patrol unit, observation unit, and that he crashed in the Split Mountain area of Imperial County. Police identified him as pilot police officer Danny Benvedis, and that's very tragic, and our condolences go out, obviously, to his family. We're very happy to say that so far during the month of March, we've had no private security officer deaths that we have personally, and when I say personally, I'm talking about the organization, that we are aware of. Now, there are some that do slip through our web of information gathering. We monitor many different sources, but again, because classifications are not always that of a security. Zero for the month of May, and that's a great thing because April we had about 8 or 9 killed, and it had been growing steadily this month, and I mean this year, and we were afraid that we were going to have a record year, and so, you know, thankfully we have no officer deaths. Birmingham, Alabama, a security officer was injured. He was shot at a nightclub, Sensations Strip Club, actually. Police say that he is in good condition. I read an article that said he had life-threatening injuries. So, of course, they have not released his name yet. In Glendale, Arizona, a nightclub security officer, bouncer, is in a coma. Police say that Jason Whitman, who is also a corrections officer, was involved in an altercation. There was a fight in the bar. He and several other security officers went to break it up. According to police, Gerardo Martinez began to kick the security officer and punch him in the head. The security officer was critically wounded, and right now he is in a coma in the hospital. They do not know his prognosis. Doctors say that he cannot currently breathe on his own, so that is not good. Martinez has been charged right now with aggravated assault. You can donate to this officer. If you want to donate direct, you can do that. You can send donations to the Marisol Federal Credit Union, account number 356040, in the name of Jason Whitman. We do not, unfortunately, have the address. I apologize. We should have before we went on the air. Again, that's Marisol Federal Credit Union, account 356040. We will be following this story and let you know if he does pass away. In Riverside, California, a security officer working for an armored car was shot during an attempted robbery at the Corona Bank. Police say three men accosted the armed guard as he was leaving the bank. They got into a scuffle with him, and the security officer was shot. He also is in life-threatening condition, and his name has not been released. The three men escaped on foot. They didn't get any cash, so all this was for naught. You know, it doesn't make sense. We will also be following this story and let you know what happens. This is a unique story in Florida. After 20 years on the run, a 76-year-old fugitive went to apply to become a security guard. Robert Dawson had his fingerprints taken as part of the background check. And guess what? He was wanted. He gave a fake name at the time of the application. But fingerprints don't lie. Let me tell you something. If you're going to be a security officer or you're going to work in the security industry, you don't want to be a bad guy. You don't want to be a fugitive. You don't want to be somebody who's out doing crimes because your fingerprints will be on file with the FBI and the state authorities, and they don't lie. Many times people try to alter their fingerprints, even burning their fingertips. But fingerprinting techniques have really become more sophisticated. Right now they're using something called live scan fingerprints. Many security companies can actually fingerprint you, and instead of waiting for days, weeks, or months, they can know instantly who you are, and whether or not you have any kind of criminal background. Robert Dawson was wanted on a parole violation from Texas from 1990. I don't know. He was wanted for burglary. I don't know what happened. I guess he just stopped going to his parole officer. It does not say in the story whether or not he was living a good or bad life, but obviously for 20 years, police did not fingerprint him. He had no evidently contact with law enforcement. He was living a decent life. So he's 76 years old. I wish him the best. I've said before on this program and in my news blogs and writings that somebody at this age, to him, is going to be a life sentence if he is sentenced back to prison. He will die there. And I'm not sure if that's justice. But again, that's for the courts to decide. Flint, Michigan. Police there are pretty upset. In March, Flint, Michigan police laid off 46 officers. 46 officers. Downtown Business Association hired private security officers to take their place. They have hired a squad of private security personnel to patrol the downtown area at night. Another business district has hired security officers to patrol their location around the shopping centers. And this is great for private security, but not so good for law enforcement. So they're not very happy about that. And we have seen this a number of times in recent months where law enforcement has been fired or laid off, and private security has had to come in and take over. St. Cloud, Minnesota, police there say that they are very happy to resolve an outstanding case. We were telling you about this earlier, where a security officer's tip led to the arrest of a bank robbery suspect. Salem, New Hampshire, private security working at the Kenobi Lake Park and Amusement Center there in Salem, New Hampshire, spotted Sharon Benedict, 27. She was abusing her child, a 9-year-old child. The police said that she was kicking him, punching him in the head, pulling his hair, even slammed his head back, and slapped him several times at 4 p.m. on Sunday. Park security said, we're not having this in our park. They went to talk to her. She began to yell profanities and threatening the security officer with bodily harm. Security took her into custody, notified police she was arrested. Police say she appeared to be extremely intoxicated, and she tried to assault the officers, police officers. They had to use a little force to subdue her. We're going to do a show coming up on domestic violence, workplace violence, and child abuse, how to know whether or not to get involved. I think the security officers did a great job in this situation. In Chicago, Illinois, Old Navy store, which is right downtown, there was a murder-suicide. I mentioned this because all Old Navy stores and a lot of retail shops have loss prevention officers. If you work at, you know, a Walmart, Target, many different retailers have private security personnel working inside. And we have noticed an upswing in the last year or two of murder-suicides at work. Police say Trenisha Palms was killed by Eugene Robinson. He then turned the gun on himself. Right there at the store, it was a domestic-related situation. But this is, you know, scary not only for the shoppers and customers and employees, but also for loss prevention because they don't know what to do. They don't know, should I get involved? Should I intercede? He's armed. All I can do is call 911. Hanover, Maryland, police there say Walmart loss prevention agents noticed a large amount of tires in the automotive section missing. They went to investigate. $24,000 worth of tires evidently was taken by five employees. What they did was they made some fake work orders and mounted the tires on friends of family and friends, and then voided out the work orders. There's all types of clever ways, I'm telling you. If you work in loss prevention, you know exactly what I mean. These people now face felony charges, as do those who receive the tires. Because, you know, and this is something when I was in loss prevention that a lot of people didn't realize. If you are stealing from my store, yeah, you do risk the possibility of being found out and being arrested. But if you are delivering the stolen items to your family, your mom, your sisters, your cousins, and your friends, they too can be arrested. It's called receiving stolen property. In most states, it's a felony depending on the amount of the property and the value of the property. And, you know, when you're talking $24,000 of tires, yeah, those people are going to be arrested. In Linden, New Jersey, police say that a man who was wanted in Texas was caught shoplifting at the ShopRite. Security officers noticed him stuffing some clothing and different items into his pockets. They were able to apprehend him. And police later found out that he also was a fugitive wanted in Fort Bend County, Texas, on felony drug charges. The great thing about working loss prevention, just like law enforcement, you never know, never, who you're going to meet, who you're going to apprehend. Who are they? Are they a wanted person? I have been involved in several cases where the person has been wanted for robbery and even murder in one case. You just don't know. Boynton Beach, Florida, police there say a very bored man called 911 in California saying he was in the process of raping. This is ludicrous. He was raping a 15-year-old boy at a nearby hotel. Police tracked him down after some time. They arrested Paul Lee Hartness and charged him with making a fake call. There was no 15-year-old. There was no rape. He was just bored. He admitted he was bored, and he called 911 in California. He lived in Florida. Why didn't he call Florida cops? They still were going to track him down. It didn't make a difference. Police say, since 2005, he has made false calls to the Nashville Police Department, Maryland State Police, Palm Beach Police, and a number of other authorities claiming similar, oh my goodness, similar crimes. In Hartford, Connecticut State Troopers announced this week that they will no longer be offering school resource officers. They are pulling 19 state troopers out of school, shuffling their staff around back to patrol service because, again, this is another budget issue. $1.2 million will be saved by not having those officers in the school systems. Again, these schools are left without any type of law enforcement or security. They're probably going to have to hire private security officers to fill these positions left vacant by the state troopers. Police in Connecticut said that they have not had a trooper cadet class for a while. They hope to have one soon. Also, this is the same thing in Edmonds, Washington. Police there say that they also are taking school resources officers out of their schools because of money problems. They're going to put them back on the street. The school district is struggling, $6.1 million budget problems. This is the same here in Georgia. Same thing in Charlotte, North Carolina. I just read where they laid off 600 teachers today. They have also done away with some security staff in the last few months. This is the reality that we're living in right now. I mentioned on a program last week two law enforcement agencies, a sheriff's department and a local police department, have shut down, gone out of business. Los Angeles Police, LAPD, also announced this week that they have disbanded a counterterrorism unit, which they use for Homeland Security. Disbanded it, closed it down. They've reassigned their officers and investigators to other areas. again, a budget problem. Task force officers who once investigated and protected high-risk areas such as skyscrapers and landmark buildings and other high-value targets now have been reassigned to regular duty. This is just a sad, sad, sad reality. Law enforcement does not have the money to adequately provide public safety right now. Another department, Park Ridge, Illinois, their police also are reducing traffic enforcement officers and street personnel. They've also laid off 4 police officers and 2 community service officers due to a $300,000 budget cut within their department. The union there is really hot under the collar, and they are very upset. There's also a salary freeze for that department, so they are going to see if they can't fight that somehow, but that's just a reality. Pasadena, California, police there say that a security officer shot a suspect during a robbery of a store. The suspect fled and later showed up at the Huntington Hospital in Pasadena and was arrested when he presented a bullet wound. Miami, Florida, you may have heard about this one. A TSA officer at the Miami International Airport was arrested for assault. He took out, allegedly, his expandable baton and began to beat up his coworker, who was his boss, Ronaldo Negrin, evidently somewhere during a screening, of a machine. His body parts were observed by colleagues. I guess this was during a test of the imaging machines. They have been teasing him about his private part size. He says he just lost it, couldn't take the jokes anymore, and he began to beat up his supervisor with his baton. He was released on $7,500 bond, charged with aggravated battery. No word from the TSA whether or not they're going to terminate him, but they did say they don't tolerate workplace violence. Pascagoula, Mississippi. This has been a very bad week, by the way, for security officers being arrested. Pascagoula, Mississippi, Charles Tyler White, 19, also a security officer at the Rolls-Royce company. Well, he too was bored, so he made up a story about a burglary in progress, called the police. They say things just didn't add up right, and they arrested him for falsely reporting an incident. He's also been released pending a trial. Wheaton, Maryland, just outside the D.C. metro area. Actually, it's in the metro area, just outside of the D.C. Capitol. Police there have arrested 2 mall security officers at the Westfield Wheaton Shopping Center. Police say that they broke into a Gold Rush kiosk and has stolen more than $50,000 worth of jewelry, cash, and other items. Police arrested Barry Lee Trammell, 35, charged him with 3 counts of burglary, 3 counts of conspiracy, 2 counts of theft, grand larceny over $10,000, 1 count of theft between $1,000 and $10,000, and listen to this, when they went to arrest him, they found large quantities of marijuana, and he's also been charged with intent to distribute marijuana and possession. Police also arrested Yule Robinson, 20, charged him with the same offenses, burglaries. Both of them were employed by Professional Security Consultants, which is a Los Angeles-based contract security company which specializes in shopping centers. A third person who was not a security officer has also been arrested in this. Whew, man, you know, that stuff just bugs me, I can believe, and I just hope that, you know, the court system deals with them appropriately. Monroe County, Florida, security guard at a resort there has been arrested after his ex-girlfriend Well, she dropped a dime. She went to his boss and told him that Tony Campo, 27 years old, was stealing from the resort. He decorated his entire apartment using stolen items such as rugs, lamp, furniture, electronics, paintings, clothing, and tools. Police say the security officer stole more than $50,000, him too, $50,000 worth of items from the resort. He's been charged with two counts of grand larceny, grand theft, and he is in jail pending court. We're going to be doing a show next Sunday about guards and cuffs. We hope to have a guest on the show. And we will be talking about this because in recent months, security officer arrest has increased at least twofold, if not more. And this seems to be a problem that needs to be addressed. If you have, you know, you've been in security and you've been arrested and you'd like to be part of the show, send me an email at radio@privateofficer.com. If you are a supervisor or a loss prevention agent in security, and you would like to discuss this, we'd like to have you on the show. Send me an email at privateofficer.com. Again, it will air next Sunday. It really seems to be a problem. Well, we're almost out of time, but we wanted to conclude our series of security's role in law enforcement. And I'm, you know, after telling you about all those security officers that have been arrested, it just security officers do have a place in law enforcement. They always have, and they do now. A number of states already have state statutes which allow certain law enforcement authority while engaged in the duties of a security officer on private property. South Carolina State Statute Section 40-18-110, all qualified armed security officers have the authority and arrest powers of a deputy sheriff while providing private security services or specific duties on private property. They shall have authority and arrest same as given to sheriff deputies. The security officer may arrest a person violating or charged with violating a criminal statute of this state, but possess the powers of arrest only on that property. They can't do it, you know, anywhere. Virginia, same thing. Any armed security officer who has completed the 18-plus hours of armed training can also arrest on private property. They can issue citations, and they act as a law enforcement officer on that property. North Carolina has something called the Basic Law Enforcement Training Company Police Program. Under statutes of North Carolina's law, you can become a certified police officer on the property. Many, if not most, hospitals, colleges, and large companies, their security staff operate as a police force. They are recognized by law as a company police department. As long as their personnel go to a facility in the state of North Carolina and complete the 640 hours of basic law enforcement training, which is the same requirement for any law enforcement officer in the state, as long as they complete it successfully, they are sworn in as a police officer. Their authority is limited to the property and the streets surrounding the property. If you are a campus police officer for Duke, for North Carolina University, for University of North Carolina Charlotte, these officers have completed the same course and basically operate in the same way as a company police officer would on private property. This is probably the best statute in any state, the best requirement, because if you want to arrest someone, North Carolina says that's fine, you're an asset to law enforcement, we're going to be happy to to allow private security to do that, but you must have the equivalent training of any law enforcement officer in our state. So as long as you go to a recognized program and complete the course successfully, which is 640 hours, about 4 months worth, then we will recognize you as a company police officer. Washington, D.C., if you are an armed security officer commissioned and you have successfully taken their course, you are a special police officer. You have all of the rights of a police officer on your property. Virginia, Washington, and Maryland basically have the same requirements to have a SPO commission. Basically, you have 8 hours of basic arrest powers and procedures. You also have 22 to 40 hours of unarmed security training, and then usually another 12 to 18 hours of armed security. And once you, you know, complete that class and get your certificate, you qualify to arrest people on your property. In Virginia, Virginia State Statute Section 6, VAC 20-171, dictates what hours and what courses are necessary. But once the security officer has completed it, then he's recognized as a police officer on his property. We strongly believe that security officers should be able to, in some cases and incidents, arrest people. They already can. In the majority of the states, they can use private citizen arrest. But this goes a step further because it protects the security officer in the liability aspects of it. As with most police jurisdictions and departments, as long as the officer makes a reasonable arrest based on probable cause, in most cases, the person cannot sue unless the officer committed gross negligence, knowingly arrested the person, knowing that he did not commit the crime or use excessive force, then the officer cannot be sued. And this training in these states, especially in North Carolina, that umbrella of protection is given to security officers who have gone through this training. So we recommend that at a very bare minimum that armed security officers complete 120 hours of training. That's broken down to 80 hours classroom, 40 hours on the firing range. Going to the firing range and shooting 60, 80, 100 rounds to qualify once a year doesn't cut it with me. I don't think it qualifies you to be a proficient firearms carrier. I don't think that it's going to help you in the heat of the moment. We recommend 80 hours of training in classroom, which breaks down to laws of arrest, search and seizure, domestic violence, report writing, responding to emergencies, so on and so forth. California has a fairly good program. California requires that you take 40 hours of training, and then if you want to be carrying a firearm or pepper spray or even a baton, that you get a permit and that you're certified in those areas. We think that's pretty good training. Security officers have a lot of duties these days. It's not like it was. We keep saying that over and over again, but that's the fact. Every time I look at the news, every time I look at our security blog, every time we do this program, we show you that security personnel are doing a lot more than just providing access control. As more and more law enforcement departments, police departments continue to have budget problems, more law enforcement duties will rest on the shoulders of private security personnel. And in order to adequately respond, in order to know what you're doing, in order to do the job and do it right, you must have the proper training, which is what we continue to preach. Private security police, private security officers do have a lot of various things that occur on their property. So we believe that security personnel, if properly trained, should be allowed to make arrests for minor offenses and felonies, as well as be able to issue moving violations. Law enforcement cannot come into private property and issue a speeding ticket in most cases. There are a few jurisdictions that allow the police officers to go into apartment complexes, condominium complexes, and other facilities because of local ordinances or statutes and issue a moving violation. But for the most part, police cannot go in to a shopping mall or to an apartment complex or an amusement park such as Disney World or even an office complex and stop a speeder and issue them a speeding ticket. It's private property. They are limited on the laws they can enforce there. This causes a problem, especially in residential communities and large facilities, amusement parks, colleges, and hospitals where there's a lot of traffic, a lot of vehicular traffic. So I believe that private security, if properly trained, if they go through the mandated courses, should be allowed to issue moving violation tickets, parking summonses for sure, and make certain arrests if properly trained and certified. We have to be prepared to do the job that law enforcement cannot do. We are the first responder in almost every incident on the property, especially if it's protected by private security. We're the first one there, whether it be a medical emergency or a fight or a burglary or a theft. We need to have better trained personnel, and we need to have a little bit more authority. It will cover us in the liability department. It will cover us. Also, the other problem, with private security personnel, depending only on citizen arrest, is that the police officer can deny to transport. If you make a citizen's arrest, they can just say, we don't want to be bothered, we're too busy, or I don't think that that person needs to be arrested. And a lot of times, they just won't transport to the magistrate's office. They won't take the guy to the county jail. They won't take him to detention. Even if you're willing to sign the affidavit and go sign the warrant. So this will alleviate all of that because this will be a full custody, actual law enforcement police arrest. Well, our time is almost out. We will continue this. We have a little bit more information to share with you, so we will continue this in another program. Next Sunday, this coming Sunday, we'll be talking about guards and cuffs. If you want as a speaker, as somebody who has either been charged, and you don't have to give us your name, you can be anonymous, or someone who knows another security person who has been dishonest on the job, we want to hear from you. Send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com. Whew, we got a lot of stuff going on. We're glad that you've been with us tonight. We're glad that you're part of our association, our network. We look forward to be sure to go to our website and check out all the stuff on there. Until we see you on the radio on Sunday, we hope that you will be safe, be blessed, and if we can do anything for you, just send us an email and we'll respond back to you. Until the next time, be safe.